Let us pray. From the heights of glory, seated in the heavens, your throne, the earth, your footstool. You came down, not to a room like this where we are, but to a stable.
Why did you have to do that? Help us, dear Lord, to catch a glimpse not only of what it meant for you to come down this far to a sleeping village. Not from there, Herod, thinking he was the king, finally the Edomite ruling the Israelite, Esau proud, to a world ruled from Rome with a proud emperor, and yet you came down to Bethlehem and to a stable. And then your dear earthly mother, the mother of the Son of Man, put you where the animals can eat from. What a coming down for our sake. And then to think that that was only the beginning, and for the next 34 years, you lived in our midst as one of us at every point except for our wicked, sinful ways. Then you were nailed to the cross to pay for our sins. How can we thank you, Lord? From the heights of glory to the lowest part, up on the cross, into the grave for 3 days, and then gloriously rose from the dead on a day like this, sealing the whole thing with the seal of resurrection. So now we know you're alive. You're at the right hand of God. That distance is now continually saying to the Father, Father, forgive this one, forgive that one. I paid in full, and shut the mouth of our accuser, the devil, each time. Be pleased to be richly in our midst this morning, we pray. And help us to get a fresh glimpse of you that we will make part of our being, enjoy you better, and share you with others more effectively. Oh, Father, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Is Don here? You mentioned. Oh, you are here.
Yes, I am.
See, I can't see very well, so. You helped us yesterday. Would you like to help us a little bit more?
I will.
Did Timmy talk to you?
Yes, he did.
Oh, so you are equipped?
I am equipped.
Good. You brought some. Okay. Now, for the sake of those that were not here, in a few minutes, we will go over what took us a lot longer yesterday. For those that were not here, and a quick review for those that were here, we want to illustrate what I would like to call the counsel of God. Now, we know the will of God is that he doesn't want anyone to perish, right? God, in his will, would like every one of us with him in heaven forever. But in the counsel of God, which is much bigger than the will of God, there's a lot more. And yesterday, we were just having a glimpse into that. What happened? What is happening now? What will happen? And although in the counsel of God, he knows some people, no matter what God does, not only at the cross, but also after 1,000 years of the rule of Jesus Christ on this earth, where he will, during which time he will shepherd with a rod of iron. That's the Greek. Not just rule, friends. He will shepherd us all. And for the unruly, he will have a rod of iron to keep them, you know, in their place. So that for 1,000 years, this earth, having been rejuvenated, Isaiah 65, verse 17 and on, will be a really global paradise. In spite of those 1,000 years, during which a man that is 100 years a believer will be just a baby yet, but a sinner, oh, he's already 100 years, oh, what a curse, it says. After all that, wonder of wonders, God knows in his counsel that there will be many, in spite of all that, that as soon as he lets Satan out on parole, for he will be locked up during those 1,000 years, many will follow him. Oh, how do you stand all that, Lord? He says, I'm big enough to take it. And unfortunately, in that bigger thing, the counsel of God, God knows already many will end up in the lake of fire. But I'm interested about the many more. And I mean that. I believe God is not a loser. Taking a clue from there that God operates, the Elohim operates that way. Let's do something. And so the first and the second and the third person, God in his totality, begins to plan. Let us create, says the first one, first person. The others, good. Let us do it. Let us create visible things, galaxies, solar system. Yeah, good. Let us create invisible to future human beings, spirit beings, angels, cherubim, seraphim. Good, let's do it. And just like spreading it on the table, when we create the angelic beings, let's put one in charge of the angels and call him the light bearer, Lucifer. Good. But we will not create him like a robot. We pre-program and he only does what we want. He will also have a choice to stay with us or to say, no, I don't want to stay with you. Right? Yes, let's do it. And let's create a beautiful jewel land. If you go to Job 38, beginning at verse 4 through verse 7, he says to Job, where were you, Job, when I was laying the foundation of the earth? And it was such a beautiful thing I was doing, that globe, that the morning stars, that means was in the morning when that globe was turning and looking at the sun, the morning stars harmonized, sang together. And all the angelic host, all the sons of God, with their leader, Lucifer, shouted with joy because what I was putting together was so beautiful. And when I finished it, in Ezekiel 28, verse 12 and on, it's just full of jewels. There's a Garden of Eden, but there you do not go apples and potatoes and tomatoes and pears and plums, but jewels. And place it in the hands of Lucifer. But we know that he is free to choose, and when he decides to go against us, we take it away from him, and to show to those that rebel and to those that stay with us, those that stay with us will be twice as many as those that follow the rebel, that God doesn't stand for rebellion. We will take that jewel land and plunge it into thick darkness and into water. Unusable for a while, not very long, for a while, so that everyone will know God does not like rebellion. He has to deal with it. And after that is understood, the show and tell, so to speak, then we will remodel that, take it out of the thick darkness, out of being plunged in water, and in 6 days make it into a beautiful place. And on the sixth day, we will put it in the care of a different creature, who will have a physical body, an invisible part to him, the spirit, and put it in charge of that. How about it? Yes, let's do that. But this one also will have a choice, will be a person. We'll call him Adam, a human being. But you see, we can see the end from the beginning. He will also choose to listen to the rebel that we are punishing, disciplining, trying to use him in ways that will be ultimately the best result. He will listen to that. We will have to rescue him. And then the first person of the Godhead looks at the second person and says, when we begin to create, would you like to be the one that will do the giving of the orders, the commands, the utterance?
Yes. Yes.
Good. And when we reach the point when it will be necessary for you to go down and become one of those human beings that we want to salvage, we want to save, would you like to, the one that uttered the commands as the Word of God, would you like to at that time does this say Word of God? We'll put it here.
Okay.
You're the Word of... Oops. Oh, you are doing better than that thing.
Yeah, right. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Now, we... Of course, we know in the Godhead that you are entitled to this, right? You are the I Am. You are the Eternal. But... after you, we have some more scotch tape. You're not listening right now. Now, God didn't use scotch tapes, of course.
Just stuck over there.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you, the I Am, see, when you go down there, you'll tell them one day clearly in John 8:58. Before Abraham was, I Am, and that would be true. So you, the I Am, in order for us, the first, second, and third person to create, you will be the one that will utter the commands, so you will be the Word of God. And when the time comes, and you go down and become a human being, the Word becomes flesh to live among people that live in a flesh, then you will be called the Son of Man, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't see that yesterday, nor did the others yet, but while you will be the Son of Man, what does it say there? Son of Man?
They both say Son of Man.
Oh, what happened to that other one? You see, not being able to see makes it very interesting, doesn't it? What does this say? Son of God. Oh, but we are not there yet. You will be there not to create, but to redeem, save. So you will be there as the Lamb of God who will be the offering, the payment for their sin. Would you like to do that?
Yes.
Now, on the other side, there's a name that you'll be given pretty soon. So be patient. Now, you said, yes, you want to be the one through whom we create. You said, yes, you want to be the one through whom we will save people, the Redeemer. Well, I, the first one of the Godhead, say, good, it's as good as done. I suggested the third person that we will call shortly, the Holy Spirit, agreed to help you even when you go down, and they will do all sorts of bad things to you to help you go through the cross in successful ways, then I can say it's as good as done. Therefore, it's born. You are my son. This day I've begotten you. From now on, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. Not only I can say you are my son, this day I've begotten you, I couldn't say to any angel anything like that, because they'll be created creatures. But I can say to you, you are my son, this day I become you. As of now, I'll be a father to you, and you will be a son to me. You will never do anything without checking with me. You agree to that?
I agree.
It's as good as then. Are you catching on? This was just an effort to give you the counsel of God. Ah, but now, because you agreed from now on, I would like two people to help us, please. Can two people come up? As of now, from the moment this is agreed, time starts when he utters the command for creation. He is therefore the beginning. He is the Alpha. And then when he finishes the whole project of creation and redemption and everything is completed, he will become the end, the Omega. So that he can say, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And that is surrounded by eternity. It's just like in a map, you take only a small section and then you blow it up and you call it an inset, right? Enlarged. Right. So this is really time, an inset, showing us that what we call time in our language to God is from the moment he agreed to be the creator and the redeemer until he finishes the whole thing. And at this point, someone in your Bible, will you please open 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and come. Thank you. Someone have 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 20, and read it so it can be also recorded. I'll come close enough with the mic. Would you like to do that? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 28. Who has it? You have to come here, please.
So I'll just read loudly.
Okay, you read it loudly.
But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. After that, those who are Christ's at his coming, then the end, when he delivers up the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death, for he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted who put all things in subjection to him. And when all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself also will be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, that God may be all in all.
That's it. That is really, in a nutshell, what we are in today. We are somewhere here. We have gone through all that, and pretty soon he will come for his bride to the air, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then the living ones hoi perilepomenoi, the surviving ones shall be caught up together with those that are going to be raised first, and we will together go to meet him in the air. He'll take us to his Father's house, then the thousand-year rule, and so on. But the whole thing is what God, who now is entitled as of the decision moment to be called Father, the second person, Son, the third person, because there is a unclean, bad spirit, in the, so that we know who we are talking about, the third person will be called the Holy Spirit. So those names now begin to make sense, right?
Right.
And when it is all finished and we are fully together with God, then Jesus Christ, the victorious over all his enemies, finally of death also, will come to the Father, to the first person who suggested the whole thing, and say, here, Father, everything is under control, and I am submitting to you, and from this moment all, God is all in all. In other words, he started it, and he finished it through the middle person who, while he's on earth, said, John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. And when he said that, what happened? They picked up stones. Blasphemy! How dare you? Over. Ooh, let's kill him. Now, friends, at that moment, listen very carefully. If down here he was operating fully as the Yahweh, he would have simply snapped his finger and then I will be dead. No, no, no. He did not come to judge. He did not come fully to show how great, how glorious, how bright, how powerful he was. No, no. He left that. He became what? The word that uttered became flesh, a simple, quiet human being. But he never stopped being the I am. Now, you have the garment you brought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Put on over,
over it, please. Okay. You see, as she goes around from town to town, from village to village, and tells people about God, they don't see all that is under what he is putting on. All they will know is that he is the, what does it say?
Son of man.
Son of man. Son of man, the ex-carpenter. And you noticed yesterday, when we went to Matthew chapter 13, go to chapter 13, towards the last few verses, when he finally came to Nazareth, they said, huh, we know him. We saw him grow up from diapers, so to speak. He's the carpenter. Everybody knows him. Mary is the mother. He has got four brothers. He has got quite a few sisters. Or his guardian father, Joseph, died a few years ago. He's the carpenter. But he went away for about a month and a half. And now he's back. What happened? He didn't have this wisdom that when he talks now, we say, wow. He didn't have the power to say to the paralytic, as he touched him, be clean. And all the problem that the man had, not that's retarding, but you see, go to Matthew chapter 9, please, and see from verse 2. They brought a man that couldn't move his legs, his feet, his hands. He couldn't do anything. Paralyzed. They carried him in a big blanket, let's say. And because everybody was crowded in the house, they went to the flat roof, opened, broke it up, and lowered the paralytic in that blanket right in front of Jesus. Matthew 9, verse 2 and on. And as Jesus looked at him, he said, wow, to those four, you really had faith. And you were bold enough. Because you couldn't come through the door, you brought him through the roof. And then he looked at the paralytic, and what did he say? Son, your sins are forgiven. Yeah. And there were Pharisees and scribes. Blasphemy. So he says, why are you thinking wicked things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to this paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, roll up your mat, go home? Dead silence, they wouldn't say anything. So that you will know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Young man, up, roll up your blanket, go home. And in the presence of everybody, he got up and took up the thing in which he was carried, and walked away. So, do you have the passage? Matthew 9, verses 2 through 8. And all the people said, wow. So, God has given such authority to, what's the last word? Is it singular or plural?
Men.
Ah. God has given such authority to man, plural, that man can forgive, man can raise a paralytic back on his legs. And you know, Jesus, who knew what the leaders, religious leaders, were thinking in their hearts, and pulled them up for it and told them that was wrong. Now that the people are saying, wow, God has given such authority, he doesn't say, stop it, stop it. God hasn't given such authority to men. Did he stop them?
No.
The people concluded more clearly and more correctly than what the religious leaders missed. He is the Son of Man, and God has given authority to the Son of Man and to man to do these things. Was that true or not? He sent his students two by two and told them, what you have seen me doing, I cleanse the lepers. You go, you will cleanse the lepers. You saw me cast out demons that were troubling people. Yes. You go out in my name, you cast out demons. You saw me raise the dead. Yes, Lord. You go out in my name, raise the dead. Did they do it? Yes. They went, and then they came back, hey, this is good, Lord. This, even the demons are subject to us in your name. It worked. It worked. God has given such authority to man, and he is modeling it through the man, Christ Jesus, anointed Jesus. Now, what is it then that when he came to Nazareth, they couldn't digest it? It gave them what? A big indigestion. How can our man here, the carpenter, now suddenly have all this wisdom and all this power? What had happened? they were not with him when something happened. And we saw that very briefly yesterday, but very quick review, please. The babe that was born in Bethlehem was an ordinary human being, like every baby, except for one thing, right? What was different about the babe of Bethlehem?
No sin.
He had no earthly father, so that sin would continue to come to every child that is conceived. Psalm 51:5, in sin my mother conceived me. But Jesus didn't have to say that. Oh yes, he was from the line of David through Nathan, because Mary, the daughter of Heli, and Heli was related to Nathan, the son of David. Now Joseph was from the line of David. You take his line, he ended up to David through Solomon. So whichever way you looked at it, even though Joseph was not his father, at least it was still the royal family. So he was the son of David. He was due to sit on the throne. But one thing different. Of all the babies that were born, that are born, and will be born yet, Jesus was the only one that was born without sin. And so, not only he started sinless 9 months in Mary's womb, the virgin's womb, but he lived sinless. He chose each time not to sin. And then, when he was 12 years old, they came from Nazareth to Jerusalem for the Passover, right? Everything finished. They started back home. But he was in the temple having quite question-answer time with the rabbis. So he was having a great time. But the rest of the people from Nazareth went a day's journey, stopped for the night. Where is Yeshua? 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 Isn't he with the young people? Where, did you see Yeshua? No. Oh, boy, and it's late now. Well, in the morning, Joseph and Mary went all the way back to Jerusalem looking for him, right? Looked all over the town. Finally, maybe it was Mary, says, let's go and look, see if he's in the temple. Did they find him? What was he doing? Playing, what is that game there?
Nintendo.
What was he doing? There were rabbis. There were young people, bar mitzvah ones, beginning their teen years. And they saw him listen to Rabbi Samuel, let's say, about the Passover. Yeah. And then he said, Rabbi, I've got a question. In the light of what you said about the Passover, yes, what is it, Yeshua? How long are we going to continue keeping the Passover? Huh. This rabbi looked at the other rabbi. Had you ever thought of anything like that? Aren't we supposed to be doing it all the time? But this little kid says, is this all we have? How long? And Mary and Joseph are watching. Don't know. And then Mary butts in. Son, why did you do this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you. This is the third day we looked everywhere. Did he say sorry, Mama? No. Had he done anything wrong? Says, why were you looking for me everywhere? Didn't you know that I must be doing whatever my father tells me? The rabbi said, she said, your father and I have been looking for you. She says, he says, I've been doing what? Now, which father is which? Huh? was Jesus Christ beginning to be rebellious at 12? That's what some psychologists try to tell us. No. Mary should have known that when Yeshua had a short time free, what would he be doing in Nazareth? What? Therefore, he would be going to the synagogue and say to the rabbi, I would like to read a little bit more from the scroll, let me see, of Isaiah. And so they would bring the scroll, and he would be reading from right to left. He was using his free time to get to know the scriptures, so that he had come to the point where he said, how long are we going to keep on celebrating Passover? Is there anything more coming? Because he had begun to see in the scriptures something about not only the four-legged lamb that you'd sacrificed at Passover, but there was another kind of lamb coming once for all to be offered. But the rabbis in Jerusalem don't know. Now another 18 years passed. What was he doing during those 18 years from 12 to 30? A carpenter, right? What else was he doing?
Study.
What's that?
Study.
I didn't get it.
Study.
Studying what?
Scripture.
The scriptures. There were 39 books. Of course, the Jews divided into 24 groups. That's why they call it Arba Ishrin, 4 and 20. And day after day, Yeshua in Nazareth, when he finished his work, when he finished splitting wood for the fire, for his mother to wash clothes or cook, when he finished bringing water for her and so on, he spent his time getting to know the scriptures from Genesis to Malachi. So that when he's 30 years old, friends, that Yeshua, that carpenter of Nazareth, knows his Bible, right? And now his heavenly Father says, I want you to go to Jordan. Okay, Father. And we saw what happened at the Jordan between him and John the Baptizer. He says, I see you are baptizing people. Yes, sir. I want you to baptize me. Well, I baptize on one condition. What is it? People have to confess their sins. Good. So, please baptize me. Okay, confess your sins. I have no sin. You have no sins? Huh. And you want me to baptize you? Yes. I can't put those two together. Well, we must fulfill all righteousness. We must do what God says. God wants me to be baptized by you. But you have no sins. No, I have no sins. But I'm representing all of the human beings. And I'm going to confess the human being's sins for their sake. As their representative, I want to be baptized so I can start the job for which I came. Are you trying to tell me you are the one we are waiting for? You'll find out after you baptize me. Okay, nothing to lose. He baptized him, and as he's walking out of the water, what happened? Heaven opened. The Holy Spirit came and settled like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom, did you say with whom I have problems? No, in whom I'm, he always does what I tell him. And John jumped, says, I know who you are, I know. Because God, when he sent me to baptize, says, when you baptize one person on whom the Spirit of God will come like a dove and stay put on him, thank you, that's the anointed one. That's the Son of God. That's the Savior. Thank you. I know who you are. Okay. The next thing he knows, Yeshua went away. And for 40 days, nobody knew where he was. What was he doing now 40 days? In the wilderness, Satan had to find out for himself also. So Satan tried one way and another way. No success. Each time Satan wanted this Yeshua from Nazareth to do what Satan wanted, this Son of Man, who also, oh, underneath he is Son of God, right? Did what? How did he answer? Did he ever say, I think that?
No.
No. Did he ever say, my daddy said this, but he's dead now? No. Did he say, my mama said this? What did he give as an answer each time? It is written. In other words, he took the invisible sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and jabbed the tempter, the devil. Ouch. Ooh, it's bleeding. Wow. It is written. Jab, ouch. He made him bleed because he did not offer men's opinions. He didn't say, Dr. So-and-so said, quotation marks. No. He said, it is written. He used the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And the devil says, I better go away and take care of my wounds for a while. So he defeated the enemy by knowing and using the Word of God. Should we know our Bibles very well? If we don't, what will happen? Who will win? The enemy will win. So he came after 40 days with a straight A in his battle against Satan. But do you remember that way back in Genesis chapter 3, God had said to the enemy who was hiding inside the snake, what will bruise your head? Did God say, I will come like the Almighty and boy, bang, and your head will be a mess? Did he say that? The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. The babe of Bethlehem. One more human being but sinless, who lived 30 years sinless, now is beginning to bruise, to defeat the greatest enemy we have, Satan. Are you catching on? How did he defeat him? It is written. How many of us, friends, really, day by day, get to know our Bibles? Huh? I think many of us are guilty, aren't we? We spend hours in front of TV with papers, with this program and that thing, but how much do we get to know our Bibles? Satan says, as long as you come to me with all sorts of other weapons, I have a heyday. But don't come to me with the scriptures and believing what you read, attack me. That's when I'm helpless. The seed of the woman defeated the enemy, the devil, by the Word of God. He lived it and he used it. So, from Jordan, from 40 days in the wilderness, as he is walking near the Jordan, John says to Andrew and John, hey, fellas, You know, I've been talking about the one that when I baptized him, the Holy Spirit came on him like, yeah, there he's going. Behold what? The Lamb of God. Now, where is that? What do we do with that? We had one card here. Oh, it's hiding there. Oh, well. You see, the Lamb of God, it's hiding, but pretty soon the Lamb will be sacrificed, right? After 4 years from his baptism, he will be the Lamb on the cross, bleeding to death. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and one day he will be sacrificed. But that, you see, I put them together because in the Bible, when was the Lamb really offered? In that counsel of God, when the second person agreed to utter and create, to come back and the Word of God become flesh and live among us, when he agreed that, at that moment, as the Lamb of God, he was already agreeing to be offered. Therefore, the Lamb of God, in the foreknowledge of God, was already offered before creation. Isn't that beautiful? That God doesn't say, oh, we have a problem. Now, if he did that, I would be getting dandruff. No. God doesn't say we have a problem. No, he already planned the whole thing ahead of time, so when the right moment came. Now, in the next two sessions, we will see what he did during those 4 years that we call his public ministry. I don't know what time it is.
It's time to take a break.
Oh, time to take break? Mm-hmm. Well, then we will do that. I like to obey orders. Okay, Father, I pray that not only grown-ups, but children also will appreciate how you so carefully planned and sent our Savior and knew from the beginning the whole thing. And we are glad that our Savior always obeyed, checked with his Heavenly Father, and always pleased you. Help us to walk in his steps, to know your word, and to do your will moment by moment. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.